This is the Kratom Science Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Gallagher, blog and social media writer for KratomScience.com, your source for all things Kratom.
My guest is Melody Wolf from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Melody suffered from a number of conditions that gave her excruciating chronic pain, including fibromyalgia and spinal stenosis. She was mostly homebound and had to use a wheelchair, walker, and opiates to get her through the day. She discovered Kratom 6 years ago and now walks, bikes, and makes up for time with her children lost to her prior condition. She's also an awesome Kratom activist and can be found on Twitter at MelodyHope5. This is her Kratom story. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. And I've been, actually, ever since we were Facebook friends, I'm like, I get the news faster from you than I get from Google Alerts.
Yeah.
Which is great about all the bills that are going on and stuff. So what's the bill that's going on in Michigan? And it's Senator Bison, I believe.
Senator Bison.
Yeah.
He is a doctor. He's an ENT doctor. And so I thought that it was going to be pretty easy to talk him down off of the bill. But not as easy as I thought it was going to be. His bill makes it a Schedule II, which means you would need to have a prescription in order to get it.
Yeah.
So I think that's like a de facto ban.
Yeah.
It's not banned, but who, you know, a doctor is not going to write a prescription for something the FDA calls deadly with no medicinal purpose.
Yeah, really. It's not going to be on the shelves with coffee and tea. It's going to be kind of like regulated to a like a opiate that you have to get for pain, and you have to ask a doctor for. And a lot of these doctors just listen to the FDA and they think it's just a dangerous drug or something like that.
And his other idea is to put it behind the pharmacy counter like Sudafed.
Like Sudafed, you can get Sudafed and make methamphetamine out of it if you want to.
Yeah, but I don't see how that would work either, because that would mean the company would have to make it and package it. With Sudafed, it was already at the pharmacy. It just wasn't behind the counter. It was already being made. They just had to move it 5 feet to put it behind the counter.
Okay.
You'd have to have a company. You'd have to have a company willing to package it and test it.
Yeah, well, so let's talk about you. Like, where you've been taking Kratom. I saw on, I think, Twitter that it was your 6 year of taking Kratom anniversary, which is, yay.
Yeah,
you didn't die of an overdose yet, like they say. Of course not. We all know you're not going to, but why did you first start taking Kratom?
I have fibromyalgia, sciatica, spinal stenosis, shoulder tendinitis, a frayed meniscus with my knee, and I've had a few surgeries on my hands. And I was just, my two choices when I was in so much pain was, in order to get enough pain relief, it wasn't a safe dosage of opiates to take. So I was either a zombie or I was crying, literally crying in pain. And my kids would have to have a fan on in their room at night so they could sleep at night because they could hear me crying.
That's a shame.
Yeah. And I just happened to stumble across it. Had some people research it for me because I was in so much pain I couldn't concentrate to research it. And they said, well, give it a go. And my doctor said he had heard lots of good things about it. He couldn't recommend it, but he didn't have a problem with me trying it.
So you were in so much pain, you must have been prescribed opiates at one point. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, a lot of them. And I would develop a crazy tolerance within just a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And so the opiates could not control my pain. They just weren't doing it.
Wow. So you had to keep taking more and more of them to have the same effect.
Right, and then it became dangerous. So
yeah,
I couldn't find a middle ground to where I could take enough that would get me at least semi-comfortable and not make me a zombie.
Yeah.
But Kratom seems to do that for me. I used to use a walker and a wheelchair.
Okay.
And, yeah, now I go biking during the nice weather in Michigan, about 10 miles a day, through a nature preserve.
Yeah.
And I try and walk every day. And I had little kids. So for 8 years, my kids really didn't have a mom. And my husband worked into the evening, so they often didn't have anybody in the audience to watch them at school plays.
Yeah, yeah.
So we just have one regret with Kratom, and that's that I didn't find it sooner. That's the only regret we have.
Yeah. So how did you discover Kratom? You said it was 6 years ago, and how did you find out about it?
Just by Googling pain alternatives, alternative to opiates. You know, just when I could concentrate enough to Google stuff, I would do that. But because I couldn't concentrate enough to research, I would hand it off to some friends to research the things for me.
Because you were in so much pain, you couldn't even concentrate. That's right.
Right. Wow. And now I research. Now I research about 10 hours a day. So
I see you do that, because ever since we became friends on Facebook, I am now more up on the stuff that's going on with the Kratom bills and whatnot because of stuff that you post, and thank you for that. You do such great activism now. Is that? It seems like you went from opiates to Kratom, as a lot of people do, but you. It seems like this is like your cause, kind of, in
it is.
So thank you for that.
You know,
by the way,
you're welcome.
Yeah,
I can't get back my kids' childhoods. They're gone, but maybe I can help some other mom in this situation.
That's right.
Too late for her to miss her kids. So it's just something I'm doing for other moms out there.
And it's funny because I hear personally from moms that are opiate or heroin addicts, and they can't talk to anybody else about it because they feel like they're ashamed about it or whatever. So how did you transition from opiates to Kratom? That's the main basic question that a lot of the moms that I hear from that are opiate addicts that want to be better for their kids. They know Kratom is better. They know it'll give them more energy, but they don't know how to transition. So how did you do it?
I just started replacing some of my doses of, I think at the time that I transitioned, I was taking Tramadol and Vicodin.
Okay.
And so I just started, you know, I didn't take a dose of my opiates, and I would take Kratom. It's like, this is working pretty good. And I found that the more I stopped taking the opiates, the more the Kratom worked. I wish I would have just switched from maybe more quickly, because I thought, you know, if I take both, which I would never recommend because we don't know how it reacts with things for people.
Okay.
I should get more pain relief, but taking the two together does not give you more pain relief, at least in my situation.
Yeah.
So I just tapered myself and added more Kratom each day.
Okay,
yep. Till I was all the way transitioned over to Kratom. It took about a week or so.
A week? Okay. That's not bad at all. So you said you had fibromyalgia, arthritis, spinal stenosis, frayed meniscus, shoulder tendonitis, and sciatica, one I can't pronounce. Yeah. But you said you used to use a walker and a wheelchair. Now that you have Kratom, you go jogging every day, you said,
walk a couple miles a day. Or bike 10 miles.
Versus being in a walker, walking, and you bike 10 miles, you said. Okay, yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm. And did some light rock climbing in Wyoming. We took a camping road trip from Michigan to Glen Rock, Wyoming.
Oh, wow, yeah. I love
eclipse.
It out there in the Rockies. It's awesome.
Yeah, and they had that was when they had the solar eclipse. And we took my son with one of his friends. So it was nice to spend some time with my kid. I remember the biggest change for me when I was using a walker wheelchair when my daughter was 16, we went to the Detroit Zoo. And my kids had to push me in a wheelchair the entire time. But now my daughter lives in the Detroit area, so we go every fall, and I'm able to walk the entire time.
That's great. Do you feel like the kratom helps with that versus the opiates?
Oh, goodness, yes.
Do you think that actually gives you an energy boost versus it's just better for your recovery?
It does give me some energy as well. And I've never noticed it making me jittery or anything, though.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah.
What I wanted to ask everybody that hears this is
Yes.
to please keep track of your own backyard because they went after us federally and pretty much lost. They're losing for the most part on a state-by-state basis. And look at Mississippi, so they're going to the very local level
Yeah.
and doing bans that way. Find out where your city council meets, find out their website and when they publish their agendas, and then read through the minutes of every city council and county board meeting because they
Definitely.
can get slipped in so easily. I mean, Mississippi, I know there's more than 40 bans.
Yeah, I mean, on the state and county level. Yeah, people in Mississippi have to get out. That's what I was going to ask you about, because you are an activist, and we have the American Kratom Association. We were lucky to have them, but people have to do the work on their local county city level, and you do that, and which is we so appreciate having you people like you who do that. So, what are the things you have done in Michigan that some other people could do? I mean, as far as writing, showing up, etc.
You can check in your you find out the website for your city and county government. And then again, you find out when the agendas come out and check the agendas and go to the meeting if at all possible because you need to be involved in your city government anyhow.
That's
And
right.
then if you and then if you can't, find out when the minutes are published and go through them all. And many districts, they have the council and board meetings on video, and you can find them on video. Just like San Diego County had theirs on video.
That's right.
So often you can listen to the whole thing on video. The local bans that already happened that I found after the fact, most of them, not all of them, most of them, it was published in the agenda. They had one or two meetings about it, and nobody came to object to a ban, and so they banned it.
Yeah. Because nobody showed up. Yeah. Because I think people want to help, they just don't know exactly what to do today.
Just go to your council meetings. I mean, they haven't even brought up anything about Kratom at all in
Yeah.
Kalamazoo. They haven't even talked about it, so I've been pretty lucky.
Yeah.
But
Same with Pittsburgh. I'm in Pittsburgh. I'm in the city of Pittsburgh, and I just want to like show up and tell them about it. I don't think they would make it illegal, but I should just go there and say, "Hey, I'm your constituent. I'm a taxpayer. I own a home. I live in the city. Why don't you not make me a criminal in case this comes up?" And I think just anybody should just engage civically in their town.
Exactly. And you need to try and do as many face-to-face meetings as you can with your state representatives.
Okay.
Because I think that some of them have a picture of a druggie in their mind. So
Yes.
when three out of four of us went to talk to Senator Bison, I think I'm 55. There was one person younger than I was. She was 38. And there was a lady that was in her middle 70s that was there. And you also have to encourage your representatives, give them information about the Kratom Consumer Protection Act. See if there's a vendor in the state that is reputable that will help lobby for it.
Yeah.
I know in Oklahoma, they just got theirs out of the House unanimously. I know the Artisan Botanicals.
Yes.
They went to their, they went to them and said, hey, we need you to pass this. Adam Hall from Artisan Botanicals.
Okay.
He took the Kratom Consumer Protection Act to him and said, we need this passed. And so it was Adam Hall that was doing all of the lobbying.
What's his name? Adam Hall.
Adam Hall. But so maybe find a vendor in your state that does all of the testing.
Yeah.
You know, that would go, because I don't think there's a lot of industries that would ask congressmen for regulation. Yep, my husband gave that, gave me, he donated $25 as my Valentine's Day present. One of my pain issues, fibromyalgia, it does run in families, especially in women. So I'm so afraid that my daughter is going to get it when she's in her 40s. And I want Kratom to be there for her.
Yeah.
If she needs it. So that's one of the reasons why I fight so hard.
What is fibromyalgia like? What does it feel like? And what does it feel like?
It feels like you have a really bad case of the flu. You know, like where you have the sheets on, even having the sheets hurts your skin?
Yes.
That's how it feels all the time.
Wow.
Feels like you have the body aches and pain flu all of the time. And sometimes it's not so much that it's the severity of the pain, but it's that it just never ends. It never ends. And so that causes a lot of anxiety. And if you get into a flare, you might be in a flare for weeks. But, you know, with Kratom, I know if I get a flare, it's going to go away within a day or so. So, and the calmer you can be about your pain, the less pain you have. The more upset you get, it just isn't good for you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with Kratom, I know, hey, I have severe pain today, but you know, it should be over by tomorrow. My daughter takes it once in a while. I remember the first time she took it, she had been working in a metal foundry as an intern for engineering, but because the engineers made a mistake, they caused more work on the floor, so she had to go down to the floor and help lift these 20-pound pieces of metal. She came home so sore. And then she came down, she says, I'll try some Kratom, Mom. And so she tried it.
Yeah.
And then about 20 minutes later, she was screaming. I thought, oh, no, what happened? She said, Mom, the pain is melting away. Why don't they give this to everybody for pain? And I'm thinking, yes, that's exactly it. We know how well Prohibition worked before.
Yeah,
it didn't.
Exactly.
It didn't work.
Exactly right.
I tell you, the hardest thing I have to getting my mind around, and this is what one of the board supervisors said at San Diego at the board meeting. She said, let this sink in. We're funding places for people to use heroin safely, yet we want to ban Kratom.
Exactly.
She said, let that sink in for a minute. And I just have a hard time wrapping my head around that. I don't know. It's like there's a disconnect from what Kratom really is and what they think it is, and they just can't get from point A to point B about saying, yeah, we see what it is. I don't know if it's because of the feed of misinformation from the FDA. Maybe that's it. I think about my dad had Parkinson's really bad, and it would have helped his Parkinson's.
Yes.
It would have helped him shaking so much. But
I bet it would have. When did he first develop Parkinson's? Like, what year was that?
It was like in 1985.
Yeah.
It was in 1985 after a car accident. But I've seen people take it and videos. They're shaking, and then just after a couple minutes, after a couple drops of oil, cannabis oil, their shaking stops. I just, you know, follow the science. And if the science points to this, follow it. You know, you just have to not give in to what you've been told for so many years by the government. Because there's a doctor, a CNN doctor, Sanjay. He apologized, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. He apologized on CNN to all of his patients that he thought were seeking a high that were telling him that marijuana helped their pain. He said, I mistakenly believed the DEA until I started to do the research on my own. There's something going on because it's three of the alkaloids have already been synthesized. And I believe the three patents are owned by a university in Japan. So I don't know how that fits into anything, but you know how marijuana was synthesized and you have Marinol?
Yes.
They have synthesized three alkaloids from kratom. I wouldn't be surprised. Well, because I hear Dr. McCurdy, I don't think he said it too many times. I think he said it one time, maybe two times, that they want to have human trials in 5 years. That's what he said he wants.
Okay.
That sounds like a prescription to me. When I heard Dr. McCurdy do an interview, he said, I'm a pharmacist, so of course I want a prescription. But then the people that need it won't be able to get it. So I'd like it regulated like kava or anything else. You know, like with kava, they have a warning on the back of it. Don't take it for longer than 4 weeks because it can cause liver damage. You know, and
have you personally found that it upsets your liver or anything else?
No.
I mean, have you have any side effects from it?
None. I have blood tests every year.
Yeah.
And my blood results are comparable to when, before I started taking it. Nothing has changed except for I have cholesterol. But, you know, I'm 55, so of course that starts to happen that time anyhow. Go see your state house representatives. Go see everybody that represents you. Make them put, better they find out about kratom from you than from the negative media hype.
That's right.
Make their first experience and information about kratom come from you and not some FDA warning that comes over the facts.
Exactly.
So I just say, go talk to everybody that represents you, city, county, state, federal, talk to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how is that going? How's the Michigan bill going?
We went to talk to him. There were five of us. Well, I thought, you know, what I hope he tells me is that, you know, I am okay with the Kratom Consumer Protection Act. I just want to make sure it does what you guys say it does before I sign on.
Yeah.
But he did not say that. A couple parents called him about their son dying from it, and he just kept saying, those poor parents. And so we're going to go back again, and Jill is going to go with me, and she's going to bring her dad. I want him to see parents that will lose children, perhaps, if it becomes illegal or if we can't get access to it.
Thank you, Melody Wolf. Find her on Twitter at MelodyHope5. The music is by Risey. The song is called Memories of Thailand. The Kratom Science Podcast is written and produced by Brian Gallagher for KratomScience.com. Take care.